Mark chapter 8 and verse 34. And when he had called the people unto him, with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. If you go over to Mark chapter 12, and reading from verse 28. Mark 12, verse 28. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, Which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. You write a letter. The bottom of the letter, you either write, usually you write, yours faithfully, yours sincerely. You're telling a pack of lies. Honestly, you are telling a pack of lies. There should be a God-given audio that goes off when you write, yours sincerely, yours faithfully, all my love. There should be an or another, a song that goes off that goes, liar, liar, your pants are on fire. Because we don't mean it. You do not mean it, and you never have meant it when you've written yours faithfully, yours sincerely, all my love. Because we reserve things to ourselves. Not all my love, not yours faithfully, not yours sincerely. But you know, my message tonight is this, over the next 2 weeks, is entirely his. That's what these two passages of scripture are saying. We've got to be entirely his. We should belong to nobody else but Jesus. Jesus said, if you love your mother and father, your husband, your wife, and he used different terminology than that, but more than me, you're not worthy to be my disciple. I mean, think about that word. People say, well, he didn't actually mean that. He means you should love them less. And of course, that is true. But true love, and Jesus said this to his disciples, he said it to the scribe, and Jesus only quoted what was already said in the Old Testament, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength, with every part of your soul, everything. That there's no second place when it comes to the love of Christ. So in one sense, well, Jesus meant we should love them less than we love him. It's not entirely true. What it literally means, that if we love them, second, third, fourth, doesn't matter what it is, if we put them in any place in our lives, from a spiritual point of view, then it's as though we don't love Jesus. Or, if you like, to love Jesus, to the world, it looks like we don't look for each other. The priority is always Jesus. And let me change that slightly. You see, God demands the whole heart. Not a part of it, not a cubbyhole, not a pigeonhole, not a little niche somewhere. He demands everything. Most Christians only give Jesus Sunday and maybe a midweek meeting. That's it. Others are a bit more intrepid, will have daily devotionals. They may pray, they may do things that Christians do. They may even witness. But still, Jesus hasn't got everything. Let me explain it this way to you. Somebody said that if the word of God was literal food that you serve on a plate, If the word of God was literal food, most Christians would be skin and bone. And that is true. That is true in our churches today. People simply do not know the word of God. Somebody said to me recently that, do you have a band in your church? I want to know, is the word of God being preached? Not entertainment. Hey, bands can be okay, but that shouldn't be the first thing that comes to my mind if I go and visit a church. I want to know if that church preaches the word of God. I'm not interested in the singing. I'm not interested in the capability of the musicians. I said that Jesus should be the priority. Well, you know something? In one sense, it shouldn't be the priority in our life. When you go on a flight somewhere, you can book priority booking. There's another word I want to use, but it doesn't matter. You can be priority, so that means you get on first, but that means other people come along. You know that you're in front of somebody else or a group of people. Jesus isn't priority in our lives. He's got to be the whole thing. There's nothing else in between. He's the Alpha and Omega and all the letters of the alphabet in between. I mean, think about it. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Is there anything more than that? Can you think of something else to go in there? It covers spiritual, it covers mental, and it covers physical. The three aspects of our humanity, our spirit, our mind, and our physical. See, most Christians will settle for Jesus having the priority seat in our lives. Give him first place. But in our mind, we say, I'll put Jesus first, but we're already allocating areas of our life, which most of the time is for us. And we say, well, that's not entirely true, but look, we love people because we choose to. Is that not right? We choose to. But love is to be unconditional. Jesus said, you love God and you love your neighbour. So there's no choice in this. That's the way it's got to be. But it's got to be God first. Lots and lots of churches, especially denominational churches, they will put first social activity, loving their neighbour. There's a lot of outreach for the neighbour. There's food banks. There's clothing banks. There's good works on the street. Is that not right? But it's not Jesus first. The command is to love him totally, and it's not a request. He doesn't request us to. He doesn't beg us to. He doesn't say this is a good idea. He said you've got to pick up your cross daily and follow me. But he says, come after me, deny yourself, and let me just say it again, unless you've forgotten this, in case you've forgotten it. Denial of self is not giving up things in life. Or I'm denying myself a certain product, or I'm going to deny myself going out. You know, this year I don't think I'll go on a holiday. I'm going to deny myself. That's not denying yourself. That's just utter stupidity. It's denying self. It's denying self. It's denying exactly what Jesus said. Heart, soul, mind and strength. That's what you deny. Self. Self-denial is not denying things of the world. It's denying self. It's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. And as somebody rightly said, the letter I, or the letter T, is an I with crossed out. We're dead. All, he said, all your soul, all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. That little word, all, speaks a great volume. It's the biggest word in this portion of scripture. All. Now let me ask you a question again. You write, yours sincerely, yours faithfully, your all my love, and so on. You know you don't really you've never really meant it. But when it comes to Jesus, when we said we've given to Jesus everything, we know we haven't. So we're not telling the truth, are we? So let me ask you this question then. Is Jesus asking something that's very too hard for us to do? Please don't say no, because yes it is. It's too hard for us to do. We just simply cannot do that. So what's the answer? Anyone know the answer? It's not a rhetorical question. Does anybody know the answer?
Can he introduce the strength?
Okay, but how is that made possible?
Through the cross.
Spirit.
Through the Spirit.
Through the Holy Spirit, yeah. So, we cannot do that. We cannot take up the cross, follow Jesus, and give up our lives for the gospel's sake, for his sake, for the gospel's sake. We can't do that, naturally. Religionists do that. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit's power that enables us to do that. Unless we've got the Holy Spirit in us, we're none of his. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to be renewed by the Holy Spirit every day. We need to come to the Word of God. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us through the Word of God. And daily, and Jesus in another gospel uses the word daily, I've taken up the cross. So therefore we need the Holy Spirit daily to enable us, to give us that power to live for Jesus Christ. So that little word all means whole, holy, totally. Without partitioning a part of our lives off for ourselves. Me time. Self time. We're so eager to do that. I'm going somewhere because I'm going to have self time. I'm going to have me time. And it's all around ourselves. And when we choose to love somebody, we've made a choice to do that. It's all about us. Because if you don't understand that, let me say this way to you. If you can't grasp that thought there, let me put it another way in the negative. When you choose to hate somebody, isn't that all about you? Somebody else in the room might hate that person, they may love that person, but you hate them because of something that they've done, said, or their behaviour. You've chosen. So, you see, natural love is just a product of the will. You choose to do it. But it's all about you. Well, it's my choice. It's my choice to do this, to go there, to say this, and so on. Jesus said the greatest law of all, and the religion, people in the world, in religion, will try to make all kinds of laws and sub-laws to make them feel as though they're living by the golden rule. But Jesus said that the greatest law of all is to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, and so on. The whole of the law was summed up in that. Paul said, the law is summed up in one word, love. Yes, it extends to God's people, and yes, it extends to the world too. But from the very moment that God has saved you, that love goes, the first love goes to God. All that love. See, if I love God with all my heart, then there's no place for anyone in the room. If I love God with all my mind, then my mind should be empty of other people in the room. I'm talking about all here. Because you say, well, that can't be true. Then if it's not true, if there's place in my mind, my heart, my soul, my strength for other people, then I'm not loving God with all, am I? Am I stretching the words? Absolutely not. I'm saying it this way to you. If you put God first, if you try to attempt to please people, guess what happens? You please some and displease others. That's the way life is. You can't please everybody. One person say, well, great, and other people, someone will say you're egotistic, or that you've got a chip on your shoulder, or you're doing it for a reason. They'll look for, why are they doing that? Why did they do that? Why did they do that good turn for you? Are they after something? That's the way the world thinks. But if we put God first, it doesn't matter what anyone else thinks. And then at that point, when Jesus has the entirety of our hearts, when we are entirely his, That's when the Holy Spirit begins to work. That's when you begin to love people the way the Lord has called you. Then you, your eyes are open. There's lost people out there. There are people, it's no good putting food in someone's stomach while they go with a full tummy to hell. You're concerned about people, you're concerned about people around you, but it must always start with God. Everything revolves around Jesus. We read Revelation, we've been reading Revelation, and how many times have I pointed out to you that despite all the things that are going on in Revelation and the explanation of the last days, we keep getting focused in on the Lamb, the Lamb, the Lamb, Jesus. It keeps coming back to Jesus Christ, because the revelation is the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's all about him. He asks us to do this because that's what we're made for. The chief duty of man, the Bible tells us, is to love God, to love our Creator, to put him first. That's the chief duty. Everything else pales into insignificance. Everything else doesn't matter. You see, I can go out and do lots of good works but still go to hell. I can pray and pray and pray and still go to hell if I wasn't saved. And sadly, there are people doing works and Jesus will say, but I didn't know you. I don't know you. But Lord, we've healed the sick, we've cast out devils, we speak in tongues and all the rest of it, but I don't know you. Why is that? Because there's no relationship, because they haven't given Jesus everything. You're thinking to yourself, well, what about me? I haven't given Jesus everything. Well, isn't this a good place to start? Allow the Holy Spirit. As soon as you lay down your life, it's no longer I that live, but Christ lives in me. I'm dead. So if I'm dead, I need to be refreshed by the Holy Spirit. And that's the Spirit of God who revives me and gives me the power. His power is made perfect in our weakness. It's only right that we owe him all of our love. He loved us enough to die on the cross for our sin. Did he have to? Some people would say he did, but he had a choice. But for the joy of the cross, despite the suffering and the shame, he went there because of you and me. Why are we so casual about that love? We talk about Calvary's love. We talk about the love that was expressed on the cross, that wonderful sacrifice. We're so casual about that. It flows off our lips so very nicely, piously. But do we really mean it from our hearts? When we sing those words as we sang tonight, did we really mean them? It's so easy to become like a parrot and see the words and sing the song, but not really mean what we say. When you read your Bible and you find out that God's loved the world, you read your Bible and it says that God loves you. When you read the Bible and it says God is love. When you read about the love of God, you know, does it translate into our own Christian lives? Are we casual about that? We are indebted to return that love to God. Think about that for a moment. Before you became a Christian, you didn't love God. You were alienated from God. You could not possibly have loved God. And yet some of you, just like me, you went to church. I was an altar boy and, you know, I went through all of that and, you know, in Catholicism and so on. And we did different things in the idea that we're doing it for God, and we weren't doing it for God whatsoever. We're just religious. We're just religious. We can do all kinds of religious stuff and not thinking that, well, God's going to take notice of me. But you hear what I just said then? God's going to take notice of me. God wouldn't send me to hell because I'm a good person. God wouldn't do that to me because of what I've done for him. God wouldn't do that because it's all about me. Look at me, God. Look how good I am. It's what Jesus has done for us on Calvary's cross. That's the most important thing. We love him because of that. Much more than that, but that is the sum total of our love. Jesus first. God first in our lives. In Psalm 29 and verse 2, give unto the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Give unto the Lord the glory due his name. So he's due glory, isn't he? Because all we have comes from him. Our life, our breath, everything about us comes from him. The fact that you can think about these things tonight comes from him. The blood that flows through your veins came from him. Outside him, we are nothing. I'm nothing. I know you get people, Toes that says this, you know, there are people who go around and say, oh, I'm nothing, I'm just humble, I'm nothing. You know, I'm just one of God's poor servants. I don't take any notice of me. And actually what they're doing is, look at me, look how humble I am. Just look how you can come up with all those words, and it's all of that. Look at me. I mean, you get the one who's very proud. Look at me, look what I'm doing. And don't we do that sometimes? We've done something, and we make sure the person knows that we've done it. Otherwise, we get upset, don't we, when someone hasn't taken any notice of what we've done. But we can just be as proud, but in a negative way, by trying to make out... It's like in Charles Dickens, you know, that guy, forget his name now, one of Dickinson's books, you know, he's so humble, and he told everyone he's so humble, the humility he had. And he wasn't at all, he was just a sneaky crook. And some people are like that. Outside of Jesus, we are nothing. We don't have to go around telling people we're something, and we don't have to go around telling people we're nothing. We go around telling people Jesus is everything. It's not about you and me. As soon as we start focusing in on ourselves, Jesus is pushed aside. In him is all goodness. He deserves our love and adoration. So we are commanded to love the Lord our God with all, the whole, complete, entirely. Hold nothing back. No holds barred. It's either ignorance or sheer arrogance not to give Jesus everything. Reason? Simple. We decide when we're like that to, I can think I can do it on my own. Yeah, I need Jesus. But Jesus needs me just as much as I need him. I know I've got to give Jesus everything, but there are things in my life that attract me. The things in my life that I want to do. There's places I want to go to. There are things I want to do. Some people love Jesus because of what they get from him. The benefits. But that's all. You see, the Bible tells in the Gospels, there are people who follow Jesus because he laid a picnic on for them every time he appeared. He did things for them. He healed the bodies. They followed him for the signs and wonders. They followed him because of the bread and the fish. He said exactly that. Go away from me. I don't need you people. And there are people who were running around at the time saying, this is Jesus, come and listen to you. And he said, I don't need people to talk about me. I don't need people to go and make me famous. So please, Jesus doesn't need us in the slightest. But we need him. And in loving him, you know what happens next? We find all of our needs get met. When we love him, all of our needs get met. I'm sure Peter was in a tiz that day when the Pharisees came to him and said, Peter, does your master pay the taxes? And Peter lied, of course, because he didn't know. Even if he wasn't sure, he still lied. He said, oh yes, of course he does. But he went to Jesus and said, Jesus said to Peter, do the children pay tax? But he said, you know what, Peter, you go down to the river, to the lake, wherever it was, and the first fish you bring out will have a coin in its mouth. You go and pay the tax for you and me. See, when we put Jesus first and listen to him, all of our needs get met. But I'm not looking for my needs to be met. I'm not following Jesus because I want this. So many prayers do that. Lord, bargaining prayers. Lord, if you do this for me, then I will follow you. And we don't do it. We renege on that. Because you know why? Because we're not entirely his. There's something we're holding back to ourselves. In loving him, we find eternal. We find everything of eternal value. What I mean by that is that the things of God, we look around ourselves, we look around at people, and we realise that with the love of God in our hearts, we're able to reach out to them and bring them into everlasting life. In loving him, we see things with different eyes, with different power, with different strength. We have a different mind, we have a different heart, and we have a different soul. But Satan has planted a germ in the Garden of Eden, at the fall, a germ that is conceived in our lives. It's the fallen nature. It breeds the fallen nature. I will, I want, I demand. We are infected with self-love. We live in an age of the selfie. It's all about, you know what? I was looking at, now and again, I look at what new phones there are out there. I mean, not intending to buy any, but I just like to see what the technology is doing nowadays. And so many times you read down the list, they take great selfies. Imagine, remember us in the 80s with our little Nokia? Oh, it takes great selfies. I mean, you'd be too embarrassed to show a photograph that you've taken on one of those silly things. Or if we just had an ordinary phone, you wouldn't be worried about, does it take selfies? Does it play MP3s? Does it? But you know, selfies. When you go on holiday, make sure you take a selfie stick. You need a selfie stick to beat yourself with. Because it's stupidity. It's all about self. And I see it all the time. Look at me doing a good deed for somebody. And you see that on Facebook all the time, don't you? Look at me helping someone. Look at me witnessing on the streets. Look at me giving this person a tract. Look at me mowing someone's lawn. It's all about self. It's not about Jesus whatsoever. Infection. It's rebellion. Because that's exactly what the devil did. He rebelled. He said, I want. I will. I demand. All rebellion is to make God a liar. Because at that point we think we know better than God. Let God do the choosing. Let God do the direction. The little sin that we will not yield, that we find pleasure in, is the sin that keeps on dragging us further away from God. Or let me say it a different way. It's the very thing, amongst many of them in our lives, but it's the very thing that proves that we don't love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, strength, mind, and soul, and so on. There is pleasure in sin for a while, for a time, but the wages of sin is always death. That can't be avoided. You won't go to hell as a born-again, Bible-believing, spirit-filled Christian, but it will severely undermine your Christian life. Oh, well, that's all right. There are Christians like that. Sadly, there are Christians like that, especially in Reformed and Calvinistic circles. You may not say it the way I'm going to say it, but it's there. You cannot lose your salvation. Fine. There's no sin that can take you away from God. Fine. At some point, I would agree with those statements. But isn't it a terrible thing to say, I can get away with sin because I'm saved. I'm going to go to heaven because Jesus can't stop me getting to heaven. God won't reject me. God has to let me in because I'm a born-again, Bible-believing Christian. It's not the theology there that's wrong, though it can be. What is wrong is the attitude of the heart because they're not entirely belonging to Jesus. That's what's wrong. But of course, they will have all theological statements to cloud the issue, to make them out to be goody-two-shoes. Why are we so ungrateful for all that he's given us? Why is that? The Bible tells us to praise God, worship God for his bountiful gifts toward us. Forget not all his benefits. So many scriptures, especially in the Psalms. So somehow we think we can keep some corner of our hearts for ourselves. This little safe area. The thing just for you. And maybe not even anyone in the room knows about it, but just for you. You know, I'm my own person. I can do what I want. You've got no right to tell me. Thankfully, I'm telling nobody. I never have interfered with anybody's life. You know that from me. I've never interfered in anybody's life, except if it's a gross doctrinal issue or a gross thing that's going to bring the reputation of the church down, I have interfered. But in your everyday life, I've never, ever, ever done it through all these years. Why? Because that's not for me to do. So I don't shepherd, in that sense, people's lives. So it's not me saying it. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. It's not me saying it. Never have said it. It's Jesus that has said it. And if anyone wants to argue, I don't mean you, but if anyone wants to argue with me about that, then go and talk to Jesus, because he's the one who said it. You see, to hold something back is to exalt self over God, and it's an indication that we refuse to obey him. In closing, let me say this. Not only do we have to die to self, give up the works of the flesh, put Jesus first in that sense, we have to abandon our good works. There are no merit to us. Jesus said, when you've done all the will of God, just say, I am an unprofitable servant. Unprofitable. And you won't get that taught today in church, will you? Amongst the proud peacocks in our churches today. Abandon good works. Stop them. If you think that by doing them, that God has taken notice of you, stop them. No wonder it's to take up the cross and follow. No wonder it's to die daily and follow Jesus. Why? So that Christ life can be manifested in us. So that people see Jesus. Who would you rather have people see? You? Sadly, there are so many ministers in the world today who do simply that. The fame is so big, they think they're so mighty, they want people to see them. Come and see the preacher, come and see the preacher, come and see the preacher. Who do we want people to see? You, us, or Jesus? And yet, day by day, you and I put on a show so that people see you, so that people see us. What can we do to avoid all that? Well, we have to die to self. And as we said time and time again over the years, take up the cross. The weight of the cross upon you will make you realise that, you know what, I can't do it, but I need someone to help me, to give me that all-sufficient strength to live that life, that Christ-centred life, a life that is not going to look to the left or the right, not looking behind, but looking straight ahead and saying, with the cross before me and the world behind me, I'm going to follow Jesus. Entirely his. Is that the entirety of my message tonight? No. We're going to be looking at it again next week.